Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
However, he has a MD in preventive medicine from Loma Linda. He has a MPH in toxicology from Loma Linda and has a PhD in public health from Capella University, as well as an MA in religion from Loma Linda. He understands that if you just have an understanding of what's taking place in your body, if you have some knowledge about health, most people would do a whole lot better if they just understand what's going on. And so he's primarily interested in teaching us, helping us understand what's available to us and how to work with these bodies. Get an understanding and your health will improve, because most people want to feel good. And they'll just start doing when they understand what they should do. Dr. Collin is really about education. And so when you hear him this morning, know that he's speaking to you from his heart. You are his family. He loves you. And he's dedicated to helping God's people understand who they are and whose they are. And that they have a God who loves them, all of them, including their health. So I want you to pray as Dr. Collin comes to us. Now, we've had a wonderful time with Dr. Collin at the men's retreat. He really helped us understand blood pressure. And this afternoon, he's going to help us understand so many wonderful things that would ensure that we experience the abundant life that God has in store for us. God bless you.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. I'm wondering what I need to do to get to church today to put on a smile. I didn't stand as a visitor because I wanted to see if you knew how to behave when you had company. I want to say thanks to God and thanks to Pastor Horton and Dr. Doolin for allowing me to speak to you today. And I know some of you are scared because we're talking about health. But I want to tell you today, you will not be afraid, you will be empowered. Amen. I will always take power over fear. Amen. You need not be afraid of power. You are Southside SDA Church, Amen. Sanctified, distinguished, and set apart for God's holy purpose. Amen. You are in supposedly the remnant church. If I knew that there was a finish line and I'm the winner,
hallelujah,
I think that would deserve some praise, a hand clap. We don't want people to think that we're worshiping somebody dead up in here. That's right, I did say up in here. English is a little twisted at times, but y'all, you know what I mean. Now, before we get to today's message, because we have an important thing this afternoon, 3 to 5, let me do a little survey. Is there anybody in here who likes to feel sick? Raise your hand. You just love to have a fever and a cough and end up caught up in your bed and can't go anywhere. Anybody want to? You're a pediatrician, not a psychiatrist, right, Dr. Doolin? I'm just checking. So, in other words, you would like to be healthy. Is there anybody here who has their wallet? And I don't care how much money you have, but you want to right now contribute to the Colin Ross shopping fund. You want to give me all of your money and end up poor, broken, and broke. Would you raise your hand? But I think none of us would mind a little bit of extra wealth. So we want to be healthy, wealthy. I didn't get to it yet, but you got there before I was going there. Is there anybody here who'd like to be an F student and never graduate? You want to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And today I will show you from the Word of God that we can be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and you don't have to pay $9.99. Call the 1-800 number. You know, people amaze me. If I ask you to do 10 backflips, give me $100 so that you could buy my machine to slenderize yourself, there would be a line and a bunch of people with hurt backs. But I'm telling you today, what God has to offer you is free. But you got to be attentive and receptive to what God wants to give us, how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are thankful that now we have come to the sacred hour. We ask, dear Lord, that you take over this message, that you bless us, Lord, and motivate us to be healthy for the right reasons. Be with us throughout today and the rest of our lives. Put that Holy Ghost in our heads so that we may make the effort to become empowered. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17. And I hope you bought a pen because I want to give you some texts to go home and look at them yourselves. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17. Listen to what Paul says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the most important text, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now already I have some Bible scholars wondering, what in the world does this text have to do with our health? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing I want to tell you is I am upset about how some people have been talking about my father. There are people that state that my father is preventing us from having the time of our life. They say that my father is too strict and his discipline and his laws and his rules. And most of you who are parents, if you have children, you understand that when you lay down the rules for your child, you don't want them to go where you have been because you know the effects of what you did. But people have the audacity to talk bad about my father. And if we are children of the living God, the father that I'm talking about is the God of creation. This world seems to have a problem with our God's discipline. They say that he's mean. They say that he's cruel. They say they don't understand why God says don't. And they say he's preventing us from having the party of our life. Well, the first thing I want to clarify for the church and those of us who are children of the Lord, that Paul says in verse 10 of chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The first thing that we as Christians ought to know as we talk about health and being healthy is that the strength of a Christian comes from Christ. Whether you have overcome sin, whether you have gotten rid of that taste of that thing that easily besets you, if you have been faithful to your wife, if you have done it and been an example to the church, it's not you, but y'all. You and Christ. And the reason why I make this point, that the Christian must understand that it is through the power of Christ that you have the character that you have, is because we've got a problem in the church based upon this misunderstanding. In our church, we've got a whole bunch of vegans and vegetarians, but very few Christians. There are people that put their power in what they eat and not the God who made what they eat. And we must have this clear. Vegetarianism, veganism is the best diet, the best lifestyle. The statistics are undeniable. But if you have overcome sin, the power did not come through your veganism. It always boils back to Christ. There is no association between good looks and a good body, because many of our supposed Christians are so mean. Always trying to tell people what they have done wrong. Well, have you forgotten how you were when you were a youth? I know some of you are married now, but what did you do when you were courting before your children were born? The strength of a Christian comes from Christ. Just because you are healthy does not mean that you're holy. Carrots may give you eyesight, but eating carrots will not give you vision. God wants Christians who happen to be healthy people. He didn't make you healthy just so you could wear that dress for the wedding. He didn't make you healthy so you could wear cut-off t-shirts and show off your muscles. Christ makes you healthy because when you've got a work to do, you want to be able to breathe and to walk and to not always be in pain. How can you work for the Lord if every single moment of your life you're in the doctor's office or watching what other people eat on their plates? A good body makes you ready for a physical battle, but Christ is more concerned about your spirituality. And Paul says that your strength is in Christ. But I don't want you to not miss this, that an athlete teaches us something. You don't develop muscles by laziness. As many of us are looking for the pill to help us lose a couple of pounds. As many of us want to wake up one morning, look in the mirror, and we're buff. The athlete teaches hard work shows results. And when Christ has done a work in you, people will not be able to recognize you. He'll turn a cusser into a preacher. He'll turn an impatient person into the most patient person. When Christ has done a work in you, Paul says that you are a new creature, that you are a new creation, that folks can't even recognize you. Some of you think you're struggling with sweets. There's a world out there struggling with genetically addictive alcohol. Yeah. And all of your looks and your quotations of scripture will not pull the bottle away from the lips. But when Christ has empowered you with the compassion and the love to know how to move the alcoholic from the bar room to the church room. That's why he made you healthy. So that now your holiness mirrors your healthiness. Paul says the development of Christian character is not an accident of life. He says that we wrestle. This is a war. But I want you to understand, the war is not against the person sitting next to you or across the aisle in the pew. The devil has come in with ideologies, and church people get more riled up to fight each other than the devil himself. Paul says that, look, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What Paul says, if you got somebody in church right now that you don't like, that you don't want to talk to, that you wish they would leave, if you are successful in your wishings being granted, Paul says that you wrestle not against flesh and blood. He says once the person is gone, now you've got powers and principalities in places higher than you thought. Many Christians have become like those big game hunters. I know some of you don't kill animals for sport, but I talk to Christians sometimes and I'm discouraged. They're so negative. Met a man who he was like a big game hunter. He said when he was in New York, he ran off the first pastor. And he was proud of that. Big game hunters. Bragging about how many church people they have ran off and how they affected the standards. And because of me, that's why the church behaves the way they are. Big game hunters. Well, the first enemy combatant that we face is one very well known to us, and it's not the person that we think is sinning. But you see that person every day in the mirror when you wake up in the morning. On the street, they tell you, watch your back if you want to survive. In the church, I want to tell you, better watch the mirror if you want to survive. I don't know why people want to try to help out the Holy Ghost. I thought he was intelligent. I thought he bought reproof. But then we got to help him out to help out other people. This is what Paul is saying. And Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to send you another comforter. If you want to go out and work with souls, the first thing that you need to do is comfort people and not cuss them out in the name of the Lord. Because we have gotten so caught up into health and what we like. We SDA and we the only ones going to heaven that we have ran everybody else off. Have mercy. Deal with yourself first. And the only way you can do that is with Christ. Because we lie and negate our sins. There's so much stuff wrong with Colin Ross, Pastor Horton. I don't know where I have time to look at other people. I've got to spend time in prayer about this boy. I've got to spend time in Bible study to get myself correct. And then we go to the diet. As long as Christ connects to me, now he can clean up my plate. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. And the church member that the devil loves is a disgruntled church member. One who's mad. One who didn't get the, nominating committee. When nominating committee comes up, there's some people that, they better put me down for this position. Well, what you gonna do if they don't? Oh, I'm gonna close down this church. I'm gonna withhold my tithe. Well, you know what? You ain't hurting anybody but yourself. God says that you are responsible to me. If your name is written down on the church books, you can lose your soul, but your name ought to be written up in glory. But you know, we get all riled up. Devil recruits these disgruntled church members. And I've been in a lot of dangerous situations. But I purposely avoid becoming an active member in the church because I'm so afraid of board meeting. Man, if the church were to call a meeting tonight on standards, you'd have a full board meeting. People that you thought moved away would all of a sudden show up. They would study Ellen White for hours and bring quotations, and they ready to fight. I feel for the pastors. I don't believe in prescribing narcotic pain medications, but when I hear a poor pastor going to board meeting, I have to have some Tylenol and Motrin ready because it's worse than sharks. But if the church were to call a board meeting on standards, should we have the piano versus the organ? Should we have praise singing without an hymnal from the screen? Or should we, boy, even little old ladies in board meeting. I'm like, Granny, where did you learn these type of words? Riled up to fight against standards in the church. But Paul reminds us, God needs you healthy because you've got a bigger battle than board meeting. Fighting against standards in the church. But let me ask you something. Are you concerned about child abuse that is rampant in every community? Do you fight against discrimination within yourself? Could you go to another church of another race and sit there and feel comfortable? Same denomination. Do you fight against sin that you have personally conquered but never address the sin which easily besets you? Vegetarian, but not a volunteer around the church. Sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. You can make it up a flight of stairs. You can run a marathon. But when the pastor wants to do some stewardship, doesn't require a lot of energy and burn a lot of calories for you to reach in your wallet and to bring it out. But because you're so proud of how healthy you are, don't worry. I know. There's a couple of people nervous right now. We didn't expect this. We thought he was going to give it to the people who are obese. I got to give medicine to all people. Amen. The generic and the name brand coming from the word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and an indication that Christianity is a lifestyle caught in the midst of an ongoing spiritual warfare. And we as Christians, number one, should not treat the Sabbath as a parade. What good is a soldier who wears the uniform but never intends to fight? You see, you thought health was just all about what you ate. Christ is getting you ready to do some work. I don't want soldiers that know how to press their uniforms, that know how to wear the proper length of dress, that know whether you should have a beard or not. Ultimately, if you're going to wear the uniform, get ready to do some work. That's why he wants you healthy. But people come to church in suits and dresses and ties, and their Christianity ends when the dry cleaning begins. Sunset Friday to sunset Sabbath, and leave me alone. I'm going to tell you something about the Sabbath and sleep if y'all could stay awake. But we are at war. And when in this war, we first have to decide that we're fighting on the right side. First, we must enlist in God's army. And Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 14 that we must stand therefore having our loins girt about with the truth. When a person decides to fight in God's army, you are not just fighting in the fight of your life, but you're fighting for your life. Everything God tells you, even to what you put on your plate, is to help you with survival. You don't want to feel sick. You don't want to feel downtrodden. And sometimes we don't see the benefit, because if God revealed it to you, sometimes I'm amazed as I study pathophys. And I say, man, this God is a bad boy. He put all of this stuff in vitamin A. He put all of this power in vitamin C. And as I can't get into all of that, but if you come to the seminars, you will feel so empowered. You will be happy that you've got a God that in his fruits and vegetables and what he said is good has given you more medicine and power than you ever realized. But first, you got to have a belt. Every soldier must have a belt. Because if you plan to fight in a war, you need a belt to carry your equipment. I know this wasn't intended to be thrown in the sermon, but brothers, if you plan to be in a war and wear a belt, you might trip if you sag your pants. But a belt has a beginning and an end. And when you read the Bible, this is how you know that you are in the right army. Is the belt. A belt has a buckle and an end. A beginning and an end. When you read Genesis chapter 2, in the beginning, God gave us the Sabbath. But I want you to notice, God did not give the Sabbath to a church. He did not give the Sabbath to a TV preacher. He gave the Sabbath to the world. That's the beginning of the belt. But then when you go to Revelation 22, specifically verse 16 and 20, the last person to speak of all Christianity is Jesus. So Paul says, you got to gird yourself about with truth. What he's saying is, the way you know that you are in the right church, it's got to teach the Sabbath at the beginning, and they've got to talk about Jesus at the end. And 99% of the churches that are open or closed today, if they don't do that, you're in the wrong army. You've got that belt. And now you know the truth. Then he goes on to list all of this protective armor that a Christian must have. In verse 15, he says, your feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know what he's telling you? You're fighting in a different type of army. This is an army where you're making war with the devil, but peace with your fellow man. If there's problems in your neighborhood, please, I pray to God you're not at the center of it. Not only are you giving yourself a bad name, but you're making Southside look bad. Because the one thing people can figure out is where you go to church. They see you going somewhere every Sabbath morning. You're not going to the supermarket that dressed up. You're not going to the gym. And they got a Bible too? Have mercy. The first thing that a Christian must understand, you fight the devil, but peace with your fellow man. Then he says you need a shield of faith to quench the darts of the fiery darts of the devil. He doesn't say darts. He says fiery darts. This is a warning, but also a blessing. See, in war, regular darts just kill the individual. But see, the devil does something to people. A fiery dart will burn up the clothing, expose the person, and make them naked. And then they die. Paul says, you need to have protection against the fiery darts of the devil. He's trying to tell you, especially you young people, that the devil is not your friend. He will expose you, and then he will kill you. Then he talks about the sword of the Spirit. It's great that we've got the word up on these screens. But Paul warns us that, you know, one of the basic things, and it's part of your health, is to have a solid Bible. in your hand, have it in your heart, but please have it in your head. But then he talks about the part I want to get to. Paul talks about the helmet of salvation. Paul says that the helmet is what helps you to be saved. Reason with me. The helmet of salvation, what Paul talks about, the most vital part of the body, is protected by the helmet. And that vital part is your brain. Let's put it together. What Paul says is that the helmet which protects your brain is important for your salvation. What he's implying is, if you don't protect your brain or lose your helmet, you will lose your salvation. And it is through improper diet and lifestyle that the devil bypasses your helmet, gets to your brain, hoping that you will lose your salvation. First of all, if you are Christian, you've got a high IQ. You know, Dr. Doolin, it amazes me. People are impressed when they hear that title, doctor, engineer, lawyer, teacher, professor. But the most intelligent people on earth are Christians. You haven't seen this God, but you worship him. What some people call insanity, I call intelligence. Because this God that you have not seen has kept you alive. How many bullets might have been written for you? How many accidents might have been staved off for you? But this invisible being, you've got a high IQ, knowing that you are a Christian, and that's part of mental health. People don't know what to believe. They fear everything, so they've got anxiety and depression. But the one thing that Christ gives you is a peace that passes all understanding. The economy doesn't affect you. The president doesn't affect you. What comes today or goes tomorrow doesn't affect you, because he is God. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but our God shall stand forever. Especially if you're an SDA Christian, you've got a real high IQ. You just can't scream and shout your way into this church. Man, you've got to do some wrestling with God. You've got to make an intelligent decision. While most of the world keeps the first day, you keep the seventh day. While most of the world is trying to marry itself to Babylon, you have made the intelligent decision that I will follow the Lamb of God wheresoever he goes, however unpopular this message is, and that is what has given you mental health.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But man, the devil tries to get to your brain with lifestyle choices. Because he knows you got your helmet on tight. Look at all of the stuff that God has given us as a helmet. We study the Old Testament and the New Testament. We've got the spirit of prophecy. Man, y'all, I don't know why y'all watching TV preachers. We got some preachers that not just tickle your heart, but they make you think. We've got some powerful and potent preachers that come with some stuff. Not foolishness. But people want to go and listen to these preachers and all these stuff and don't know that they're agents of the devil. And the reason why you need to protect your brain against the wiles, the tricks, the traps of the devil is because if you let your brain falter, you have no idea the adversary you face. First of all, you just have to look at his names to know what you face. The Bible calls him Beelzebub, which means Lord of the Dumb. That tells me that the devil fights dirty, that they call him dumb. Satan actually means adversary. He may bless you with wealth. He may bless you with popularity, but he's against the salvation of your soul, young people. In 2 Corinthians 11:13 to 15, he's called an angel of light. What do you think drugs do? Oh, take this. It will enlighten your mind. It'll blow your mind. But this is the one that caught my attention. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, the Bible said he is the God of this world. You want to fight a God of this world and not be on your P's and Q's. You want to fight a God of this world and can barely stay awake. You want to go up against a God of this world that offers you death and yet won't take what you eat seriously because he's trying to get to your brain. So let me give you some examples. Job was a rich man. Man, but he had some bad kids. They were barbecuing and having parties. And I understand why God made Job a rich man. And you can read it in Job chapter 1. He had to sacrifice for the sin of his kids. Number one, do not become a workaholic for the salvation of your children. Don't lose your soul trying to save them. Job was working hard to try to help these hard-headed kids. There comes a time where you just have to let them go. But the devil was trying to get to his head status so he could get to his heart status. Job told the world that naked he came out of his mother's womb, and naked shall he return. And you know, the devil didn't stop messing with Job. He messed with his family. And then the love of his life, his high school girlfriend. Man, if there's one person I could count on to stand by me, it's my rib. You've got to have your mind so fixated on Jesus that if wife, brother, sister, daughter, mother, preacher, pastor, doctor says otherwise, you will be able to turn off what they say and follow Jesus. Job's own wife said, when I married you, you had smooth, dark skin. But now you got an acne problem. His wife told him to curse God and die because he had some acne. But yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job did not let the devil get to his head status to affect his heart status. The children were gone and his wealth was gone, but Job and his relationship with God was still there. Imagine if Job was prone to getting drunk, or he liked to get high. You could get high, but you'll never get to the highest of the heavenlies. He had to have his head status to protect his heart status. You look at Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I pray that every school district in America that has children falling behind on their grades, children going to the doctor plagued with adult-type diseases of diabetes and hypertension. Child asked me the other day to explain what Norvasc is. It's a new pill that my pediatrician put me on. But what our school districts could learn is that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were children of the Most High God. And the first thing the Bible tells us about them in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 4, that these children were well-favored. That means they behaved in school. Skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding in science. Well, how did they get that way? Well, King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to put them to a test and have them to eat his fine meat or his junk food. He wanted to conduct this experiment for years, but they said that we will not eat foods offered to idols. And in 10 days, he put them on a vegetarian diet. 10 days, he saw the results of a vegetarian diet. But let me tell you something. Daniel, being Jewish, had been practicing this all his life. And as a teenager, what Nebuchadnezzar saw pleased his mind, but he didn't know that Daniel was connected to the Lord and the heavens of the heavenlies from the time he was a baby. And who says prenatal care is not important? But as they fed those children a vegetarian diet and got them away from brain-altering junk foods. Man, young people, you want to get good grades in school? Submit yourselves to a better diet. Stay away from those junk foods. You want to be a C student? Eat a whole bunch of Cheetos. You want to be a D student? Load up on the Doritos. You want to be an F student? Go ahead and eat all of that fast food. But if you want to be an A student, all you need is some good carrot juice. But King Nebuchadnezzar saw. King Nebuchadnezzar saw. Not the parent of these kids. What am I saying? Parents, if you are trusting the judgment of little Johnny with a dollar or $5 to go to school and to bypass the junk food machine, do not give your child that type of power. You pack their lunch. You make their lunch. You school your child not to have options to put brain-altering foods within their system, and then you're wondering why they're behaving bad. You thought sugar made them act up. You can't even read half the stuff on the Doritos. You'll get cross-eyed trying to figure out some of that stuff in soda. But yet, here's a dollar. Go poison your brain. And church, this is not political what I'm about to say. We missed an opportunity. Yes. When the wife of a president, have mercy. The wife of a president made the suggestion to get all of the junk food machines out of the schools. We should have jumped right in and said, guess what? In the Old Testament, which you churches don't like to read, guess what? We had a little old lady also by the name of Ellen White, who when the doctors in Tabor's Medical Dictionary number 1 were telling the world that smoking cigarettes were good for your health, the church didn't support her when she stood up in the face of those big bad boys, trained at Harvard, trained at Yale. I don't care where you're trained. I know my God. She told them that smoking was bad for your health. Y'all don't know at one time. All of the doctors. See, she read about the woman who had the issue of blood and how she went to the doctors and they made her worse. She studied her Bible and she told them that smoking is bad for your health. And 150 years later, now they know what the little old uneducated lady knew. Well, they were wrong about one thing. She wasn't uneducated. Like Daniel, I could imagine at the third hour and the sixth hour and the ninth hour, she got down on her knees and prayed. You can't get a better university education than the creator of the universe. But we lost an opportunity. We could have come right in there and said, look, we got Daniel to show to the world that this is true, but God had to use a Gentile who some don't like because of political affiliations. It's not about politics. It's about using the ministry to further God's purpose. Oh, I'm there. But the devil wants to get to your helmet, to get to your brain so you can lose your salvation. And the first way he does it, now I'm coming down our street. Now that we've laid the foundation, now we're going to talk about our stuff, and then we'll go home. The first way he affects us is by lack of sleep. Lack of sleep. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. This is for our professionals. Christ went into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights and he prayed. And the devil did not try to attack him while he was in the process of becoming great. But when he got out of the wilderness, he spent little time on offering him food. But I don't want you to miss this. The devil offered Christ power for his insomnia. He offered him power for his insomnia. Now, to become professional, you got to pull all-nighters to get you by. Some of us are working overtime to make extra money. Some are able to fly across different time zones to make corporate meetings or little meetings, but don't have time to come to prayer meeting. And the first attack that he used against Jesus was to get us from lack of sleep. Why do we in the church suffer from insomnia but get our best sleep in church? Has nothing to do with the preaching. Number one, what one practices during the week, it's hard to just break it on Sabbath. Don't miss that point. Because I'm going to tell you how you can sleep. And in church, we don't have Starbucks or espresso like they do at work. Or as some of us would get up and take a hit of the caffeine to keep us awake. And you don't have to get this from me. When you read about the effects of caffeine, what the literature will tell you, it has a direct effect going straight to the brain. The seat where the devil tries to attack. And when he gets to your brain, then he has your salvation. When God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, we miss something. Don't you believe the people that tell you work hard during the week and then catch up on your sleep during the weekend? If you want to sleep better, you have to treat your body like a clock. When God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, should we cook before the sun sets? Should we iron our clothes? That wasn't the bigger picture what he was saying. What he was saying is, if you can go 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, have mercy. 9 to 1, Monday through Friday. 8 to 5 for some of you, Monday through Friday. When it comes to the Sabbath, remember the cycle. I figured I wasn't going to get too many amens on that. Furthermore, if you suffer right now from insomnia, for the next month, show up at Sabbath school, just like you would for work. And you'll discover that you start to sleep better. You can tolerate a preacher preaching for about 45 minutes. And you don't fall asleep at church. And here's the problem with church time insomnia and chronic insomnia. Insomnia means you're partially awake, partially asleep. Carbon dioxide crosses your blood-brain barrier. And goes directly to the brain. Carbon dioxide has an amnesia effect. So while you're falling asleep in church, you can't even remember what the preacher said. What God is saying, remember the cycle. You want to start sleeping better? Try this month. Come to Sabbath school just as if you are going to work, and you will sleep better. I'm almost done. When your children can't sleep, it's because they don't have a routine. You should never let your child stay up to watch that show because they got a special edition. And the reason why some of you have stress is because you don't put your kids to bed at a regular time. Man, my mama put us to bed like clockwork. She looked forward to 10 o'clock. And you know what? As a grown man, you call me about 10 o'clock, you started drinking now? I'm old, because we don't break the cycle. But what do? Some of you learned the trick of giving them Benadryl. Because it helps them sleep. But we had a little issue with Benadryl, because you didn't read the chemical name. Diphenhydramine. Methamphetamine. Diphenhydramine. Methamphetamine. What you did not pay attention to is that while you were trying to medicate your kids to get them to sleep and not keeping them on a regular cycle, you were exposing them to something like methamphetamine. And recently, that's why those cold medications were put on restriction. Because you figure the baby's got a cold and I want the baby to sleep, but I don't want all the snot and the boogers coming from the baby's nose. So I'll give him cold medication, pseudoephedrine, and Benadryl, methamphetamine. And what you just did was give the baby an extra dose of amphetamine. Affects the brain. One of the things that Granny used to do was read scripture to us. If you read Psalms 146 to 150 to your children every night, they will fall asleep like clockwork and preserve their brain. I'm going to rush on because I see people who have somewhere to go. They're not asleep. Where they got to go? Cigarettes. Now, Doc, what do cigarettes have to do with my brain? See, y'all telling people don't smoke, don't smoke. Let me show you another way you present it. I'm talking about ministering, Pastor Horton, because the problem is that when you tell people don't, a negative phrase automatically puts a person ready to fight. You got to sneak it up on them. It's not that you ain't telling them the truth, brother. Nicotine. And serotonin. You are not born with nicotine receptors in your brain. Well, what does serotonin do? It helps you to sleep. It helps you to calm down. It helps you when you are depressed. So along comes the devil. And he says, I got nicotine. Guess what nicotine does? It helps you to sleep. It helps you to calm down. It'll help you when you're depressed. You feel like Mini-Man, it'll help you feel like Superman. And nicotine receptors go directly to the brain. That's why they are addicted, because he's after their salvation. But you telling me, but Doc, what is all this I hear about nicotine? I never heard about the brain part. I hear about the lung cancer part. Guess what? That's a wile of the devil. While you juicing up your brain, I need a smoke to calm me down. I need a smoke to wake me up. I need a smoke because I can't handle stress. He threw in the tar to now give you a brain disease and a lung disease. That's a wile of the devil. Taking that to keep you up and to put you, that's what he goes after the brain to get rid of your helmet of salvation, alcohol. How many of you would go out to any car parked on the street, open up the radiator, and drink some of that antifreeze? What the devil didn't tell you is that when you take a sip of alcohol, there are two reactions that occur in the body. The first reaction is the alcohol is converted to acetaldehyde. Well, what is acetaldehyde? Acetaldehyde is antifreeze. Oh, but he didn't stop there. The acetaldehyde turns into glycerol. Glycerol is a fat that forms triglycerides. Those triglycerides expand your liver. Now you've got fatty liver. Oh, and the devil didn't stop there. Fat hearts are uncharged molecules. And guess what? There's a blood-brain barrier. So from the sip of alcohol, you got some antifreeze. Now you have triglycerides, which cross the blood-brain barrier, deposit in your brain, cause inflammation. Now you have dementia or Alzheimer's disease. But yet, God is the bad guy. Doesn't he know we've got to have alcohol at our parties? Doc, they said in the studies, a little wine for the stomach's sake. It's in the Bible. Don't worry, I see some of the old saints ready to stone me. In the Old Testament, God made it clear the difference between fermented and unfermented. Well, why would God change his mind in the New Testament? That's not what happened. What happened was the alcohol industry convinced the preachers to start saying a little alcohol is not going to do some damage to your church members. And what the devil didn't tell you is that it forms fats, which affects your brain. And once he has your brain, he's got your salvation. What about all these studies? I'm waiting for the French study to come out. Once again, the devil has fooled the world. God's word is always true. Well, they said that, yeah, if you drink a little alcohol, now they changed it around. They say it's not for women, it's for men. You drink a little alcohol, it'll help you with your cholesterol. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be fooled by the devil. Here is the truth about this matter. I'm sorry, I know I'm keeping y'all a little long, but I got to get this information out. Here is the truth. Rich people drink wine, not 40 ounces. Rich people can afford good cars. Rich people can afford good homes. Rich people can afford activities. Rich people have good health care. Doesn't matter that they drink wine. The difference is when they do the studies telling you how a little bit of wine is good for your cholesterol, what they're showing you is the tragedy of poverty. Poor people cannot afford Chardonnay. And they don't have health care coverage. They could, look, I grew up poor. You better not break your leg in my granny's house. I didn't know she was an orthopedic surgeon. When you look at those wine studies, remember it's about the economics and never doubt God's word. Fermented wine did damage to the brain back then, and it still does damage now. Especially you young lady, I know, you know what? I got to get this out. Especially you young ladies. I remember when I was out there clubbing. Look, the reason why I preach the way I preach is because I've been there. When I used to go to those nightclubs, brother came over to me and said, man, you working too hard for the ladies. Just buy them a Long Island iced tea. Like, iced tea will get me phone numbers. Alcohol has a more detrimental effect on ladies because you don't clear it as fast as the men. And so what happens? You turn 21 because the church said you couldn't go club. You can't wait to show off how bad you are now. You're going to go up in that club and drink more than a Sprite. You're going to order and touch all sorts of stuff you have never put in your body before. You're going to go in there and show all of those men that you could drink them under the table. And while you drinking them under the table, they're drunken you into their bed. Then you wonder why you got bad kids. About fifth or sixth grade, the effects of fetal alcohol syndrome. Unfortunately, most children are produced after a night of drinking. Let's go have a good time, baby. Oh, you pregnant? The damage has already been done. The fourth and the eighth week is when the brain is protected against damage. So if your man is smoking weed when you got pregnant, if your man drinks before you got pregnant, that's why y'all ought to give us church guys a try. I'm gonna shut it down, Pastor. Not only will you have a happy home, but you're going to have some happy children.
Hallelujah.
I know we ain't as fine as the gentleman, whatever fine you think fine is. But ask anybody who's been married a couple of years, Dr. Doolin. They'll tell you all of that fine becomes all, you know, you're all right. I just look at your high school pictures now and remember what you used to be. Let me end with this. I got to end. Last one, obesity. What does obesity have to do with the brain? Sleep apnea related to obesity. Carbon dioxide up in the brain, you can't stay awake. Triglycerides form in your veins, you can't walk. God gave you a vegan, vegetarian, which is the best. And if you're still struggling, like some of us do, Leviticus 11. You know the clean and the unclean meats. I don't even want to deal with, y'all will learn about scavengers and all I could tell you, but you know, I've gone long. But that's coming. You come to the seminars. Everything God has told you is to protect your brain so that you could be saved. And is it worth it eating shrimp to lose your salvation? Pork to lose your salvation? Pig don't care about you. It has nothing to do with God being mean. He wants us to be saved in this current body that we have right now. You will feel sick. They will never come up with the pill that just makes it right. More and more people are getting crazy. The only hope that we have is the blessed hope. And the only thing that we can hopefully do is through proper diet and lifestyle is to stave off the effects of the detriments of this world. So I hope you come out to the seminars. And I pray that you will make better lifestyle choices so that you can protect your brain and I can see you all in glory. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.